Hey, everybody, welcome into another episode of Purple Insider. Matthew Collar here. And you probably remember last week, ESPN's Courtney Cronin and I and Sam Ekstrom went through the defensive line and the underrated stories. Well, here's the second part of that episode in which we make Courtney pick the schedule. Off we go. Let's pick the schedule, because this is what Courtney has been waiting for some time. Because it's really important to mention that the first time you picked the schedule, you had them going 7-10. And a lot has happened since then. So let's just dive right into it. At Cincinnati to kick it off on September 12th.
That will be a win to open up the season. I booked my travel for it last week. It felt good. So starting off the season with a win, and they'll be 1-0 going, staying on the road for week two.
I too will be flying into Kentucky Airport. Week two at
Arizona. Is it going to have you to the ranch?
Is that going to hang?
Is that in stone yet?
Don't think so. That has not been been brought up.
Yeah, I think ranch trips COVID, are probably
there's COVID protocols probably at the ranch.
Yeah. Also, after Adam Zimmer described them hanging out in the hot tub and stuff, I was just like, I don't know if I want to be there.
They've got a golf course.
They created their own golf course. Yeah,
really? That's awesome.
They created their own driving range, pretty much. Got a lot of space.
Zimmer does watch Chicago PD, which is, if anyone's watched it, it's quite a show. Anyway, so Arizona at on the road for week two. Sam's going to go to this one.
I will be there as well. And I do think this will be a win. I'm not confident in the Kyler Murray development, Cliff Kingsbury, Kyler Murray. Like, what do they have another year left in them? Like, what's it going to take? I think that, there's a lot of weapons in that offense. By the way, if you didn't know, AJ Green's now on that offense. Like, I underrated, not talked about, who cares type move of the offseason, but it's got a lot of weapons. But the Vikings also have guys that can actually cover receivers this time. So we think. Patrick Peterson is at a crossroads in his career. And it's his former team. He's going home. The storylines write themselves. But Bashaud Breeland, if you have Mackenzie Alexander starting in the slot, like, I think you have a much better secondary to go against all that speed of that air raid style NFL offense. They should at least be able to fare better defensively. I think it's actually going to be a pretty close game on the road, but I do say the Vikings will come away with a win.
Okay, Courtney, on to week three. Seattle, actually, by an act of God, is coming to Minnesota.
They don't lose a lot of games when there's fans at US Bank Stadium, right? But does anybody think that they're going to start out 3-0? I don't know. Seattle's had a lot of issues this offseason. Like, is Russ happy? Is he not? Well, apparently he's staying. So there's that big question mark that's been answered. They played them so close last year. And I think that, obviously there's a lot of different issues as to why they lost that game. And they lost Dalvin Cook for, the second half of that game too. I think this will end up being a very close loss for Minnesota. I still think that Seattle is one of the better teams in the NFC. The Vikings are they're a good NFC team that nobody's talking about. And I don't think that prove it date of they could actually be legit and go to the playoffs this year will come until later. So I say that will be a loss in week three against Seattle.
Okay. I agree with you. You're going to have to show me you can beat Seattle before I'm going to say you're going to beat Seattle.
I don't think I've ever actually, since I started on the beat, I don't think I've picked them to beat Seattle.
So you've been right every time.
Mostly because they've played at Seattle every time, but yeah.
All right. Cleveland is here October 3rd, which makes for an incredibly fascinating matchup. Kevin Stefanski v. Mike Zimmer.
And all of the former staff members, both front office and coaching staff and strength and conditioning staff, I believe, that are all on Cleveland's team now. So crazy. Storylines write themselves. This is going to be a really tough one. I think that they will eke out a victory over Cleveland, like last second coming down to a field goal type victory. And if it's Greg Joseph, then it's probably not Greg Joseph. It's probably a kicker brought in during camp. Who are we kidding? But nonetheless, this is going to be like the, I worry kind of about the overthinking chess match that's going to go in here. Like, not thinking like, you know, if I'm speaking for Mike Zimmer, it's I have to beat Kevin Stefanski. I gave this guy his opportunity. I have to run him into the ground. And Stefanski wanting to come back and prove, you know, I mean, he was coach of the year last year. He doesn't have that much to prove, but he proved like, hey, it wasn't a fluke. Prove that Baker can actually be like a top 10 quarterback. This is going to be an overtime game, and I'll say it's an overtime win for the Vikings via a field goal.
Fuad Reves for the win is what will happen. Nobody on Fuad Reves.
I love Fuad.
Former Viking kicker from like way back in the day. Fuad Reves. Yeah. Anyway, I think it's spelled F-U-A-D. So anyway.
You're correct on that.
Okay. Well, we'll just move on from that then. I thought everyone would be very excited for that poll. Let's go to Detroit. So wait, you said it was a win for the Vikings. They're 3-1.
3-1.
Great start for the Vikings.
First quarter of the season.
Rosy optimism from Courtney.
She goes, wow.
Wait a second though. There's a really tough stretch there from like week 9 through week 12 that might disappoint some people. Okay. But
this
They start out hot.
I was gonna say the remainder of this stretch is not too hard because you have Detroit is our next game, October 10th.
They'll beat Detroit. I think that it's always a safe bet to like assume that they're going to split with Detroit, really all their division rivals, but specifically Detroit, because like there's always one gotcha game that they have in them, but I think that one will be a win. I think they're going to start out pretty hot, honestly, going in. They have an early bye. It's week 7. Like, there's 6 games. How bad can it get? Well, last year it got pretty bad until the same time as when they had their bye, but I don't think it will be that bad this year. So I say that they will beat Detroit in, was that week 4, week 5?
That would be week 5. Yes. Yeah. In week 6, they go
to Carolina.
So they're 4-1 going to Carolina. Now, you did say one of these games against bad teams is the upset.
Is this the one
you're picking?
Yes, because, and it's not just like thinking back to like last year, and it's not the Pat Elflein revenge game. So don't worry. It's not why I'm picking that this one's going to be a loss. I think that they will have had some good road tests early on the season. This one kind of feels just like a sneaky game that might get them, because think about like all those times that they played the Rams and like, oh, like, you know, offensive genius, Sean McVay, and, you know, what's it going to do for Mike Zimmer? Like in the first year in, you know, 17. Yeah. The one he beat them, like that was a, you know, great win for them at home. And that propelled them throughout the rest of the season to be like, yeah, this is a legit NFC championship team. Then there was the week. Then there was the game after that, the shootout in 2018. Is this the year that Joe Brady, the whiz kid, offensive mastermind, like, did they finally put it together? Yeah, I know he's only been there a year, but like, I haven't seen it. I do think that the quarterback change that they made with Teddy Bridgewater, I'll be really curious to see how that plays out with Sam Darnold. But I do think them going on the road week 6 will be a loss.
Let me just draw a correlation. Last year, who was the week 6 opponent?
Atlanta.
And did they just fire their coach?
They did. I posed
that question in an odd way, but yes, they did fire their coach.
And they did not hire Raheem Morris as their new coach.
Is Matt Rhule a competent coach, caller?
No.
And
no, he is not.
Could he be out? Could that be like Joe Brady taking over the reins in week 6?
Oh my gosh.
Will the Panthers be inspired?
I'm going to say, no, he won't be fired because his contract is ridiculous.
It's
so
like 7
give him,
years. Yeah. It's literally 7 years. Yeah. It's absurd.
It doesn't matter if he deserves it.
Out of style.
So,
where's a vest?
What is
that thing? It's a smock.
But one of those games feels like the game.
Detroit,
or Carolina. Right. Yeah. So you've got them 4-2 going into the bye. Coming out, my circle it favorite game, most interested game of
Very
the year.
About this one.
Sunday Night Football on Halloween, NBC versus the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, Dallas's defense, like, yeah, they've added a couple pieces. They got a new defensive coordinator, but their defense still isn't very good. So, like, I'm not all that worried about that aspect of like Dallas's team, like issues that they might give the Vikings, but like they've got a lot of weapons offensively. Like, this is going to be a fun game. in prime time, a lot of offense in this one. I think they're going to win this game. And I'm kind of setting myself up for that because of the stretch that they have week nine, like I said, week nine through basically 14. And I'll explain why, but I think that they end up beating Dallas on Sunday Night Football.
5-2, the start that you have. So this is quite the turnaround from 7-10, unless you have them falling apart here, which maybe. So they're going to at Baltimore on November 7th, the following week. So they come off this big win. Everybody's on a high. And then what happens?
And then they go to Baltimore and they lose.
Okay. So they drop to 5-3 because they can't stop Lamar Jackson. Now, this is where it gets hard.
They have trouble with that, like running quarterbacks and things like that.
Well, you go from at home in Minnesota to the east to play Baltimore, to the west to play Los Angeles.
Where you'll be 2 weeks later. Like, yeah, it's a lot. And I know that people don't want to, like, say, like, factoring in time and schedule. And, like, they get annoyed when those questions get asked in press conferences of, like, you doing anything different this week because of the West Coast swing? Well, that stuff actually does matter. Like, that's why they try to mimic when, like, a team has a Monday night game as the opener. That's why they start practicing at night. At least a lot of teams do, like, the week leading into that. Nonetheless, what are the Chargers going to be this year? Justin Herbert, like, what are they going to be? Brand new coach, defensive-minded coach, and Brandon Staley. What are they going to be? I think that there's still, like, a couple pieces. There could be very good, but I think that they're still a couple pieces away. Like, they'll be a fun team. The AFC West race will be fun to watch, like it always is. Like, everybody behind the Chiefs. But I think that this will end up being a win for the Vikings. So what do I have them at now?
You have them at now 6-3. And the Chargers game, not just because it's Los Angeles and I can't wait to go in November, but also, I mean, just one of the most intriguing games of the year for sure. Sam, interject here. How good do you think the Chargers are by the time we get to week 10?
Here's my take on the AFC West. I think the Chiefs are the Chiefs, and the Chiefs will demoralize everybody. I think the Broncos still have maybe that splashy Rodgers move in them, and I think the AFC West is just pretty tough. I don't know what to think of the Raiders. You know, Derek Carr still puts them in a little bit of purgatory, but that's a tough division in my mind, especially if the Broncos find a way to upgrade at quarterback. So I think the Chargers wind up where the Chargers usually are, which is buried early in the season. And then they'll charge late, so that they can, you know, lose out on the fourth pick and get the 14th pick instead.
Charge late. Indeed.
I did enjoy that pun.
Okay. 6-3. They come home to face Green Bay. Let's go on this assumption. Let's assume Aaron Rodgers is playing, because until he says he's not playing, he's playing.
Yeah. So I think that they will win this game. They're going to split with Green Bay. So you can already see what I'm going to do in January, but, they will win this game because they played a close. It was an offensive shootout. They haven't been home in 2 weeks. Since they played Dallas on the 31st. I don't know if Green Bay's cornerbacks are going to be able to cover any better than they did last year. Like, I don't know if Kevin King has recovered from, what was it, the NFC Championship game. I don't know what happened. And, like, this team overdrafted a cornerback with their first pick in the draft. I think it was 29th. Yeah, I was like, what? Like, he's like a top 50 player. And anyways, I don't think that this one will be, even if Aaron Rodgers is playing, I still don't think that this one will be very close. I think that it's a statement type game for them to be like, okay, we're going to march now. We've got a couple division games coming up. And they also have a really tough road before they go back on the road to play San Francisco. So that one will be a win for them against Green Bay Sunday, November 21st.
Hey everyone, training camp is on the way. Fans are going to be back in the stands, so you got to be ready with all your Minnesota football gear. That's why you have to check out SodaStick. There are so many designs that you can get on hats and t-shirts, including the John Randall design, which is extremely cool. There is also the Straight Cash Homie Randy Moss homage, the Can't Stop the Thielen hats, and a personal favorite, the old video game designs that Tecmo fans will appreciate. Check it all out at sodastick.com. That is SOTA STICK.com. Everything screen printed here in Minnesota, and I can tell you the shirts are comfortable and they last a long time, because at this point, half of my closet is SodaStick, to be honest. Again, that is SodaStick.com, Minnesota sports inspired goods. Keep your eye out also for our SodaStick giveaways. Hey everyone, I want to tell you about our friends at Scout Logistics, and I really do mean it when I say friends. They are fans of Purple Insider over at Scout Logistics, and since they reached out wanting to support this show, I want to tell you about what they do. Scout Logistics is just-in-time transportation for full tractor-trailer loads, and if you're wondering what that means exactly, well, if you own or work for a company that needs shipping solutions, they are the preferred carrier of Fortune 500 companies across North America. And we have quite a few of those in Minnesota, right? They can ship perishable, non-perishable, FTL or LTL, and they have on-time delivery rate of over 99%. So if you're like them and you enjoy the show and you have shipping needs, check out scoutlogistics.com or call 855-217-2688 extension 232 to connect with them directly to find out how Scout Logistics can minimize risk and overperform and go the extra mile for your company. So now you've got it at 7-3 going out to San Francisco. And I mean, again, what a travel slate here. Whew. Baltimore, LA, back home, back to the West Coast to Santa Clara, the very easy to reach Santa Clara from
Are you guys flying into Sacramento?
No, again? I'm going to watch that game.
We're
going
to fly into Portland this year, I think.
I mean, just right.
A little further north.
Drive.
we drove in a truck from, where was it? Sacramento, all the way down to Santa Clara. That was a fun time. So out to San Francisco, let's just assume it's Jimmy G for now.
Starting. It could be Trey Lance. I actually, in my prediction or like my schedule release that we did back in May, I circled week 12 as the week because it's past the trade deadline. I put this as the week that we could very easily see Trey Lance starting for the first time. I don't know what that, I mean, they are so loaded, and if they're healthy, they're top five NFC teams. I think this will be a loss for them.
Okay. So they fall to 7-4 out in San Francisco. And that one is a really hard one to project. No matter who's playing quarterback though, we know Kyle Shanahan is calling the plays and they have a great team. I mean, if their defense is healthy and they have weapons all over the place. So that is a very strong roster. I think it's a stronger roster than the Vikings. So I think it's fair to give them the Vikings a loss there. And now on to Ford Field and Detroit in week 13 with a 7-4 record, where I would imagine people are still talking about, hey, look, those Vikings are pretty good.
I bet, you know, I'll go ahead and say that they sweep Detroit this year. So that's a win for me.
That would be what? Four straight sweeps of Detroit? Would it be 2018, 19, 20, 18, and 21?
19, 20, yeah. Mm-hmm,
Cousins has never lost to him here.
No, he hasn't.
And if you look at their record against other teams, not Detroit, it's under 500. So there is that. This is like my question of the week, because I've been doing a couple of shows with NFC North people.
Mm-hmm.
Should I bother to connect with anyone from Detroit to talk about the Lions? Like, should we care? But should we care at all about the Lions?
I think we should care, because I think we want to know, like, it's kind of like the storyline that helps you figure out another storyline. Like, was Jared Goff the problem in LA? Because his head coach made him seem like he was, and certainly shipped him off to another place to try to, you know, get him, you know, let him get fixed somewhere else and also get out of the Rams' way. So I'd be curious to figure out, you know, they didn't really address, like, wide receivers, their big position that they still kind of have to figure out, right? Like, maybe that could slow up, like, the recovery period, I'll call it, for Jared Goff to be like, are you still like a good quarterback? You know, I'd like to know about Jeff Okuda. Didn't do anything last year. I mean, he was hurt and he had surgery and he like wasn't very good, but like, yeah, I think it's worth it. I like football. I like listening to podcasts. I go on walks.
Will they bite any ankles or kneecaps?
Kneecaps.
Sorry. Yeah.
Get it right.
They're like on their way to standing back up. They're not down on the ground biting ankles. They're like on their way back up and taking a chunk out of a kneecap. That's how that works, I think.
That's painful.
So you have an 8-4. Now, you need to make an official statement here at 8-4. You have already past your previous win-loss record. Explain yourself. So do you feel like they have gotten that much better since the last time we did this, which I think was maybe May?
It was May. It was right after the draft. I mean, do you want me to tell you what I have them as my record, or do you want
No. We're going to say that to the end.
Sheldon changed everything for Corey, I think.
This is what I'm saying. Really. This is a big change, though, from where you were
at. Because the type of changes that they made in the free agent additions, like, it's like they got through the draft, they got through free agency, then the draft, and they didn't stop defensively. But they could have stopped and been like, all right, cool. We've got two massive individuals. No one's ever going to run on us. That's great. They solved the run game problems. Anthony Barr's healthy. Eric Kendrick's healthy. Cool. Like, and it's like, all right, well, Patrick Peterson, great. They'll figure out the rest. Well, in that time since then, they shipped off Mike Hughes. They got a draft pick back for that. They upgraded again at cornerback. They brought in, you know, Bashaud Breeland. Like, they have more depth at that position than they know what to do with, honestly, at this point. They, you know, didn't stop with the defensive line. Like, you can kind of argue, like, which was the bigger problem last year, the pass rush or the coverage? And it's obviously both, but you know, like, your biggest question, that was the hardest part about projecting a schedule. Not that, you know, Danielle Hunter did make this, his injury did make them nosedive last year. And it's kind of weird to say that about a defensive end, but he is such a big part of what they do. When you are predicated on defense, that was a problem. So now that we know that he's back, albeit we don't know in what condition, we assume he'll be healthy. But that to me was worthy of at least 1.5 wins difference for them. And the fact that they've upgraded their pass rush and they've put so much focus on trying to actually get a push from the interior, it's such a different look than it was before, that gives me the thought that it'll do, like, from where I picked them before, that it will at least be 1-3 win margin of difference. And I know our friends at PFF and, you know, others who, you know, project schedules and, like, you know, the how much you can actually weigh on certain players will probably disagree with me on that, but I'm projecting this out based on who's back, what we saw in minicamp, how this thing's going to look. And it gave me the belief that this team could be not backing their way into a wild card spot, but they're one of the NFC teams that no one's talking about. Like, one of the top NFC teams that I think no one's talking about right now. Like, I'm not saying top five, top six, I'm saying like 7, 8, or 9. And that could, you know, if you're 7, then if you're top 7, top 8, potentially you're in the playoffs. So, yeah. Right.
Sam, you've got to run here in a second, but I want you to say why you didn't change anything. From the first time that you and I picked the schedule, the minute it came out, you said the other day that you're not changing that at all from your record, which I think was 11-6. So were you like soothsaying? Were you like projecting that they would get
Sam, you had them at 11-6.
You had them at 11-6.
Well, you have to realize, let's clarify this for people. I had them at like 7-10.
7-10.
So yes. Of course.
So this is quite a big change. Yeah, that's why I'm grilling you on it.
But I mean, like, if Sam had them at 11-6, like, I don't think that's a bad record at all.
Yeah. I believe my first projection was in the real heat of the Rodgers speculation.
Yes,
so I gave them
absolutely.
I gave them both Green Bay games, and I think a couple of those fringe games, you know, against teams that have been good, like Pittsburgh and Los Angeles. I feel pretty good that those teams are going to decline, and I just feel like they get a lot of their easier games on the road, which I think is a formula to have success, because if you have easy games at home and hard games on the road, you're probably going to like win a lot of home games, but you're going to lose a lot of your road games. I think they can bank road wins against Carolina. They can bank road wins against Arizona and Cincinnati. There's three right there. Add one more, like LA. You could go 500 on the road. That's a great road record. And we know this team can easily go 7-1 at home, because they've proven it before. They can beat good teams at home. So that's my methodology behind the 11. And I'm sure I'll be wrong.
Okay, Sam, go take care of your children and we'll finish the rest of the schedule. And
bye,
thank
Sam.
You for your time.
I love you guys. Bye.
Okay. Love you too. All right. So we are at 8-4 as we head down the stretch here. Pittsburgh, December 9th at home. It's a Thursday night.
Okay, so they're just coming off. Let's factor in the travel here and just the fatigue and potentially injuries at this point of the season. They're coming off games in Detroit on the road. Detroit on the road the week before. The week before that, San Francisco on the road. And then it's a Thursday night game against Pittsburgh. I don't know where people get the idea that, like, Pittsburgh, like, Mike Tomlin, like, you know, this whole thing. Like, I hear these hot seat conversations. I'm like, huh? The guy has not had a losing season since he's been in Pittsburgh. Where are you getting this from? Yes, I don't know what Ben Roethlisberger is going to be this year. Do I think it's his last season? Absolutely. Do I think they're going to be awful? No, I don't. So, like, I put this down as a loss. I don't think I've changed my prediction on this game specifically since I started making schedules a while ago. So I think that this one will be a loss.
I think that's fair to think this is a loss because, like you said, two games that go on the road and Detroit, even if we're making fun of them not being very good, they usually put up a fight, at least against the Vikings. Divisional opponents tend to do that. They might be a little bit more, a little bit better this year just by not having Matt Patricia. But even if it's an easy win, you've still got to come home and play a great defense. That I don't think Pittsburgh's defense is disappearing off the face of the map.
I don't either.
Cam Hayward and TJ Watt, and those guys could cause a lot of problems for the Vikings offense. So I tend to agree with you that one is a losable game. That would drop them to then 8-4, and then they go to Soldier Field. Always a party.
Yes, it is. It is their favorite place in the whole wide world.
Or did I say 8-4? I meant 8-5.
I have them at 8-5 right now.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. So I think I might have said 8-4.
And they've got four games left. They're gonna lose at Soldier Field. Because not saying last year was a fluke by any stretch, but that game was way too close for comfort for them anyways. Is Justin Fields starting at this point? I think so.
Yes. I'm gonna say yes.
So I think that they will lose on Monday Night Football in Chicago. In week 15.
I think that you are justified no matter how bad Chicago is. And I think they're just okay this year. Always saying they're going to lose at Soldier Field. Like, history just proves you right. We studied this. We looked at it. It's a real thing. And like you said, they were inches away from
losing. It's going to be frozen. Like, nobody's going to be, it's going to be like a skating rink out there. Like, it's December in Chicago. Like, on a field that's run by Chicago Park District, field's going to be frozen. Turf conditions, they're going to need like 9-inch cleats. It's not going to be pretty.
8-6, and now the season is feeling like it's teetering a little. All of a sudden, they were hot. They were 8-4.
Scares, I think, you know, down the stretch. And now they got the Rams at home day after Christmas.
Coming home against a great defense, Matt Stafford is familiar with US Bank Stadium and has presumably a more stable franchise. How do you think this one plays out? This is tough. This is a short week.
It is. I think that they end up winning this game because, like, you think about the receivers, what, Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, like, do they have an X? Like, so it won't be, like, hard in turn. Not hard. I mean, it's a bad word to use. But, like, it won't be like, oh, man, how are they going to cover these guys? Like, some other teams. Maybe, like, a Dallas that they play. This is why you got Dalvin Tomlinson. This is why you got Michael Pierce, because they have an elite group of running backs with Cam Akers and the whole crew behind him. And as we know, this Rams team really likes to utilize running backs as receivers too. And as they learned a couple of years ago, sometimes you can trick people into not covering them on seam routes. So, but no, I do think that this will end up being a win for the Vikings, because this is where you get to flex your muscle defensively of, like, the biggest acquisition you made, which was, you know, you're shoring up your run defense so you don't get embarrassed again like they did last year on Christmas Day.
So you've got 9-6, and now we go to Green Bay, and you sort of teased this one earlier.
Yeah, they'll lose this one. Yeah. I mean, it's just Murphy's Law. Like, you have to lose, got to lose one at Green Bay, and who knows? I mean, depending upon how the season goes for Rodgers, like, this, if he plays, and right now we're assuming that he's going to play because he hasn't said otherwise, and, you know, camp's 2 weeks away, and there's a whole lot of non-news about nothing. But I think that they'll split with Green Bay, and just, you know, to wrap it up, they'll split with Chicago. So I believe I have them at 10-7, which I think is a conservative, fair bet for me to put them at that.
That's the record I have them
at. You call me a hater because that is, I'm not being overly negative. I'm not being overly critical. They've made a lot of adjustments. They overhauled that defense. Mike Zimmer was right. It is going to look completely different this year. Schematically, I'm curious to see what they actually do. Like, they always talk about, like, oh, we like went back and studied all these trends and stuff and things that offenses are doing and how to keep up with that. Like, you have the personnel to mix some fronts. You have the personnel to change what you're doing on the back end and how you cover if you're, you know, playing more man versus zone, things like that. You don't have to do kind of all of the fail safes that you had to do last year to just to get by and give up 400 yards a game in a loss or a close win, whatever. But like, that's what kind of gives me the belief that this team will be more than just marginally better. But the NFC is still really, really good. They're still not one of the top five teams in the NFC. By the end of the season, could they be? Maybe. But I still think they're going to be kind of on that outside edge looking in and could probably could make some noise in the playoffs.
That was going to be my question. Do you think 10-7, because I still haven't figured out if 10-7 is a good record or not. I think that it's kind of okay.
Sounds weird to me.
So somebody that emailed me did the research, and I mean, it doesn't guarantee you playoffs, basically, that you go 10-7. Is that going to be good enough in the NFC? Because I think if you go 10-7, you are right there on the cusp and you basically end up with tiebreakers deciding your fate.
Yeah, no, I mean, it very similar. It could be like to last year's situation, like, right? Like the Bears and the Cardinals and all of those games, and they beaten the Bears that they would have, it was a tiebreaker scenario that could have put them in the playoffs had they handled business in week 15. I bet 10-7 is like 10-7 is like the new 9-7.
I think it's the new 9-7.
It's really not anything different, but it's just like such a weird number that will definitely be in like tiebreaker scenario where they're going to have to like rely on like the fate of other teams to figure out like what their fate is in the postseason.
A remarkable turnaround from 7-10 in May.
Hey, they put in the work this offseason with like bringing in new personnel. Like now all they have to do is like prove that they can actually like win the games that like I've, you know, went back and like changed my picks on several games to get them from like 7-10 to 10-7. So
part of it for me in picking them to go 10-7 and probably Sam to some extent too, was just anticipating that these moves would happen. We always felt they would add an extra defensive lineman. We always felt that they would add another cornerback, that they weren't going to go into this whole thing with the rookies. And so I was kind of figuring like that's how it's going to play out. And it ultimately did. I think when you picked it with this is their exact roster, that was fair. They did not look like a team that was going to make the playoffs at that point. And it's pretty significantly changed when you add Bashaud Breeland, when you add Sheldon Richardson, and you look like a much more solidified team. Still many a question to be answered, though. So we will be each week, as we always do, coming back here, and very soon we will be podcasting post training camp practice, Court. I'm excited.
It's going to be fun. I'm very much looking forward to it. And I just can't believe how soon it's coming up. What happened to summer?
What happened to summer? But there will be cakes, hopefully, this year.
There will be lots of them.
There will be cakes. So, okay. Well, we'll do it again soon. And thank you for your time.